In the 2020 cotton season, the Department of Agriculture's Agricultural Marketing Service Cotton Classing Office in Macon, Georgia, has classed 2.2 million samples, of which approximately 895,000 contained seed coat fragments. In addition to those fragments, a portion of samples also contained whole cotton seed. Researchers are actively examining the situation to determine the cause of the significant increase. Daryl Ernest, Deputy Administrator for USDA's Agricultural Marketing Service Cotton and Tobacco Program, joins us to talk about the cotton classing system and invites cotton producers and other industry stakeholders to engage with and observe the cotton classing process.
This year in the southeast, predominantly the southern half of Alabama, the northern part of Florida, and all of Georgia, we've seen a historic increase in the number of samples received, which represents all the bales in that territory containing seed coat fragments, which is a form of extraneous matter that we classify in our visual determination part of our classing process. And it started really from the beginning of the season. As soon as we started receiving cotton, we noticed that we were seeing more seed coat fragments than we would normally see in a season. We see seed coat fragments every year to some extent in almost every location across the country that we have offices, but usually to a relatively small degree. And we were seeing the numbers really out of the gate be higher than we normally see relative to other seasons. You know, we were hoping that that would be a trend that would maybe be indicative of hurricanes that we had come through and various weather patterns and things, and we, you know, might be indicative of the beginning of the season, and then it would quickly plateau and then hopefully diminish for the remainder of the season. But that just hasn't been the case. It started out of the gate, it rose up, and it's continued to rise up and stay steady throughout the entire course of the season. And so now we've seen numbers that are historic for seed coat fragment amounts in bales. Anytime you have an anomaly in classing results like this, whether it's seed coat fragment issue or whether it's some other kind of issue that's abnormal, obviously it's going to get a lot of attention by stakeholders and by everyone. So, you know, we started receiving a lot of calls and a lot of inquiries from stakeholders in Georgia and Alabama and Florida, obviously from trade associations and from various segments of the trade, noticing, you know, how many bales were showing up in that territory that had seed coat fragments. So we made sure that we kept Agricultural Marketing Service, the administrator over our agency, in the loop on what was going on, as well as all the way up the chain of command in USDA. Also, during that time, Secretary Perdue had been in Georgia on some other business and had had a chance to visit with some stakeholders, and they had pointed out the problem too. So there was a lot of discussion about what was going on and, you know, what was different about this year and why we were seeing so many. So we were in a lot of communications with not only the agency, but the department. We also received some inquiries from Georgia Department of Agriculture and the Ag Commissioner's Office, and we did talk to Commissioner Black on a couple of different occasions about the situation. And in doing so, you know, not only informing him and his office of what the issue was and kind of how our process proceeds, they asked if there was some way we could maybe partner up for informational purposes to get information out to better educate everybody on what seed coat fragments are and kind of what this whole anomaly is about. And then also, you know, they asked us if we had any suggestions for how we might help the stakeholders in the industry better understand the situation. And we suggested that the best way for folks to maybe understand our process, if they don't know it, and then maybe what seed coat fragments or any other extraneous matters are, would be to actually come and see our operation while it's still going on. So a lot of those discussions kind of led to a press release that the Secretary's office put out, and that press release was also kind of in partnership with the Georgia Department of Agriculture and Commissioner Black's office, and we helped coordinate that as well, and they did release that this week. And then we were fortunate enough to have a lot of the trade associations in the Southeast and Mid-South region also send that press release out so that their stakeholders could make sure that they got it. That was the key goal, was to try to get that information out to as many people as possible. And in that press release, it did say that, you know, any stakeholders that are interested in learning more about the cotton classing process or seeing it in person, if they actually want to see it, we encourage them to visit our Macon, Georgia office. And we gave the contact information of our area director there, and they could call and make an appointment. Obviously, we're taking visits by appointment given the COVID-19 situation, but we always welcome any stakeholder visitors that want to come see our operation. It's an unfortunate situation with anytime you have a quality issue like this come up. We've been asked many, many times what's the difference between 2020 and past years. You know, we've had 950,000 bales with C code fragments this year. I think compared last year, we had 10 or 11,000, and that's program wide. In Macon alone, we've had 930,000 compared to like 1,600 bales last year. And the question we get is, what changed? What's different? Our process hasn't changed. Our process is exactly the same as it was last year and the year before that and the year before that. We haven't changed any processes. We haven't changed any equipment. We haven't changed any methods. Our standards are the same. Everything is the same. The biggest difference between previous years and this year is that we had 5 named hurricanes come ashore, and 3 of them came through generally the same path through the southeast and part of the mid-south. And, you know, we're not agronomists. We're not experts in plant physiology and those kinds of things, but there's a lot of folks that are looking into the reasons why this occurred and the research behind it, and that's what's been the main focus of attention, is how those weather patterns may have affected the plant growth, the seed varieties, the seed themselves. The thing that we're trying to reiterate to everyone is there's nothing about our operation that has changed. It's been a very challenging season for us to get through, as it has been for our stakeholders, and we feel for them, and we know that C-Cup fragments carry a discount, and we know that's not something that they want in their cotton, but we also know that our role is to be that unbiased third party that basically looks at the cotton that's in front of us, and we grade it accordingly. I commend our staff for doing a great job this year doing that. We've got a series of checks and balances in place and supervisory checks that we do every single day throughout every single shift to make sure that not only our instruments run consistently and accurately, but our human graders do as well. So I've been satisfied with all of the data that I've seen throughout the whole season that we've done it correctly and accurately, amidst the fact that we know it's been a very challenging season.